This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. This, of course, is Enterprise, and it is open for business. Now, I want to talk a little bit about a company called Hoola. They were founded in February 2018, and they are Asia's leading omnichannel buy now, pay later BNPL company. They're headquartered in Singapore. The BNPL provider ventured into Malaysia in 2019, has since partnered with global and local merchants. They allow consumers to buy what they need now and pay later via 3 interest-free monthly repayments. They deliver proven conversion and basket size increases for merchants, promises a convenient, seamless, and excellent buying experience for all. I've got on the phone line with me right now, Stuart Thornton. He's the CEO and co-founder of Hoola. Stuart, thank you very much for joining us on the show today.
No problem at all, Richard. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
How are things down there in Singapore right now?
Well, as always in Singapore, it's very humid and warm, but perhaps the weather is not the conversation today. But business is actually sort of getting back to some normality.
Right.
I think COVID is probably the sort of subject that's on everybody's lips. Obviously, Malaysia is a little bit different at the moment, but it's moving in the right direction at least.
Right. Tell me a little bit about Hoola then. When did it start? How did it start? And why did it start?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'll maybe sort of take it. So the last part of that question first, because the problem in any sort of business, the problem you're trying to solve is really where the thinking and ideation comes from. Mm. Maybe a little sort of just a quick introduction to myself as well. I mean, I'm originally from England, but spent about 12 years living in sort of Singapore and working across Asia. And prior to the Hoola, I was in a payments company called Worldpay. And typically in Worldpay, we would hear a lot of, the big merchants across the digital and retail and travel and airlines, et cetera. They're all sort of talking about the same challenge that they were facing, which was, how do I get customers? How do I get them to buy and convert? How do I get increase their basket size? And, Worldpay was a brilliant business, global payments company, incredibly successful. And we could do a lot of great things, but it was very difficult to try and influence a transaction by virtue that we were very much a post-transaction sort of business. And
right.
That was really the starting point of hearing that pain and wanting to solve it and really looking for a sustainable solution and manner to achieve that outcome. And I think the sort of drive at that point was really sort of seeing some great companies around the world. You had companies like Klarna in Europe who've now a multi-billion dollar business, and also companies like Afterpay in Australia, who are also now valued sort of significantly in the billions, where they were using, really trying to find a place between sort of technology, risk technology, and sort of consumer and the merchants and payments, and bringing all of those different elements together to sort of solve those problems. And really, that was the starting point of one, sort of seeing that it could be done, that there are ways to do it, and two, hearing those pain points of merchants. And really that was the starting point, in the back of the mind around, how and what, we would want to achieve from that.
Okay, so how does it actually work? I mean, because when I looked through your website, and obviously it's like you buy what you want and you can pay in 3 installments, but seemingly there is no additional cost to the overall price of the thing that you're wanting to buy. I mean, can you just break it down for me a little bit?
Yeah, 100%, and it really isn't any extra cost, either from a consumer perspective at all, neither on the price or any sort of cost that they incur. It really is, interest free. It is sort of there's no hidden charges or costs at all for a consumer. It really is that transparent, and really that's one of the reasons that the we've grown quite significantly as sort of consumers start to see that is the case. Really, it's a platform. Where merchants, make the investment to engage that customer, to give the ability to make that purchase, afford that purchase responsibly, to perhaps increase, the basket number of items that they're buying, again, doing so responsibly, but also creating this great experience where consumers will come back again. And that's typically the 4 biggest challenges that a retailer sees, right? Mm. It's getting customers in the door, it's getting them to buy more, and getting them to come back again. And that's ultimately what we're solving, and that's ultimately therefore what the merchant is investing in, you know, to you know, sort of that return. And typically, it's a lot more cost effective than, you know, some of those other methods that they may have been investing in, you know, sort of previously, and including things like discounting, for example, you know, where to try and drive that conversion and even basket size and, you know, customers, you know, there's a significant margin contribution to doing that and actually reducing, you know, perhaps the sort of true value of that product.
Right.
You know, for a longer period of time. Consumers then only make that decision, you know, perhaps when that item is on sale. And that's not consistent for anybody's sort of cash flow or P&L position.
Mm. I mean, we've seen, you know, consumers are getting a heck of a lot smarter as well. They know when something's on sale and when it's not. They also know when those sales prices are the same as when the item is not on sale as well.
Mm.
Right.
Absolutely.
Can you tell me a little bit about some of the partnerships you've made with brands here in Malaysia?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is a starting point for us, you know, really was seeing some significant demand from Singaporean, you know, companies and international brands as well that, you know, saw Malaysia as a very important market, you know, themselves as well. I mean, companies like Osim, for example, Kenwood, you know, De'Longhi, Bombefell, these are all, you know, very sort of strong international brands, but also sort of, you know, brands that, you know, originates, you know, into Singapore, comes like Novel Ship, like Tazian, like Melissa Shoes, you know, that we work with, who sort of see Malaysia as a great market to either expand into or expand that sort of market. And they've sort of seen that success of what Hula has been able to deliver to them, you know, in the Singapore market. So that was really the driver for us to, you know, open up that market. Plus, you know, some fantastic, I think, opportunities. And Malaysia's an amazing country, I think, you know, to do business with anyway. Mm. But then we sort of started to see, you know, some great demand from some, you know, local players as well, including perhaps even some international brands that sort of sit there today. But, you know, companies like Fashion Valet, is sort of one of the great partners that we've got there. I think for every sort of person I've spoken to in Malaysia, you know, everybody will know who Fashion Valet are, and they're a wonderful business, you know, that we've done business with. But also companies like Solar Time and Focus Point, you know, Focus Point being a very large sort of retailer in the sort of optical area. And so we've been really lucky, I think, in terms of those, you know, strong relationships that we've built. You know, other companies like TT Racer, for example, which sort of sell video gaming chairs. It's some really, really cracking businesses that we've been able to, you know, bring on board in the last sort of few months, and many more as we grow out the business in Malaysia.
And what do you see are the most, here in Malaysia at least anyway, what do you think are the most popular verticals that are selling well for Malaysians?
Yeah, listen, I mean, I think, you know, for us, our solution is very much around, you know, lifestyle for a consumer, you know, a responsible lifestyle.
Right.
And so we see all verticals actually being interesting, you know, to us, from, you know, fashion to beauty to, you know, accessories, whether that's jewelry or bags, you know, whether that's, you know, electronics, you know, quite a significant space, furnishing, home decor. We started to get into the sort of digital space as well, in insurance and sort of dating type verticals, and all of them are applicable into Malaysia and sort of Singapore for that matter. And I think that's where, you know, our sort of great opportunity has come. Where again, it just literally comes down to: are you concerned about a price when you make a decision? You know, what's your value that you emotionally relate to that product that you want to buy? And if at any point that is, you know, that sort of price makes an impact on your decision as a consumer, that's ultimately where we can have an impact, you know, to make that sort of more affordable for a consumer.
Okay. I've got Stuart Thornton. He's the CEO and co-founder of Hula. They are Asia's leading buy now, pay later solution for e-commerce stores. You're tuned in to Open for Business here on Enterprise with me, Rich Bradbury, on BFM 89.9.
Beating fickle mindsets. BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is Open for Business here on Enterprise. I've got on the phone with me right now Stuart Thornton. He is the CEO and co-founder of Hula, Asia's leading buy now, pay later solution for e-commerce stores. You have announced 12 new partnerships, Stuart, with global and local brands. I'm reading about Jerlique, Fashion Valley, as you mentioned, Melissa, Pasion, Bonia, Turong People, TTR Racing, a whole bunch of merchants. And now you're over 100 merchants live here in Malaysia. How difficult has it been for you guys to kind of negotiate with these companies?
It's an interesting question. I mean, I think, for the value proposition of what we deliver, it's a phrase, no-brainer, is sort of something that's been thrown at us on a number of occasions.
Right.
And really it comes down to, what is it that you're trying to achieve as a merchant? What is it that you want to get to? And especially, I think, in sort of post-COVID times, when merchants are looking to, engage that customer to sort of get that transaction over the line. And perhaps to sort of, to get that new customer, for a longer period of time, to sort of keep coming back. And I think that's where it's actually sort of worked, reasonably well for merchants and for ourselves in creating that sort of value and stickiness.
Right.
In that regard. And so I think, to negotiate, it's been a reasonably sort of simple process, I think, for us to, bring that to the Malaysian market.
Right. I mean, I've got a couple of questions, and I want to ask you from both a kind of a consumer perspective and from a merchant perspective. So from a consumer perspective, let's say there's an item that I've seen in the brick and mortar store and it's 100 ringgit. Would it be the same price on Hoola?
100%, yes, indeed.
Yeah.
But there's no or at all from a consumer perspective.
Right. So in terms of the merchant then, are they paying Hoola money to appear on your platform? Is that how it works?
No, it's a good question. Today they don't. That sort of, that relationship is not in place. But today, effectively, they're investing into every single transaction. Now, the model is very much based on a revenue share percentage of that transaction. So, in the sort of scenario where that transaction perhaps wasn't going to occur beforehand, because that consumer. That's the same consumer spending 100 ringgit, for example, on an item. Perhaps it's going, maybe this is, I don't have enough cash, for example, in my pocket today. I'm going to wait until next month or maybe go somewhere else, for that matter. What we're helping to do is to get that sort of transaction closed, but help that consumer to spread that over a period of time. Now, in that instance, that merchant would have lost that consumer and lost that transaction. So we're helping that merchant to make sure that transaction occurs.
Right. Got it. Now, tell me a little bit about what numbers in terms of purchases have been like across your platform during the pandemic. Of course, we when I look at other e-commerce stores, we're talking about the bigger ones, Lazada and Shopee and whatever. We're seeing huge numbers, increase in numbers during the pandemic. Has it been the same with you guys?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we were already on quite a significant growth curve anyway, pre-COVID as buy now, pay later has really exploded, in across the world. And, as the, really the sort of originator of buy now, pay later in Asia, at least sort of Singapore, Malaysia, I think that sort of work that we've done on educating the consumer and the merchant, the awareness that we've driven around it, we've really started to see, the outcome or the fruits of that labor, so to speak, in terms of the demand. But COVID, sort of definitely sort of shifted, I think, sort of some of the behaviour from a consumer perspective, and most definitely, I think, sort of some of the wants and wishes, from a consumer perspective. So we've sort of seen, definitely some significant growth. I mean, our transactions as a business have grown, well over 700% now.
Wow.
This year alone, from the beginning of the year. And our sort of top line sales have grown, well over 350%. So, it's been a very strong year, I think, in terms of that growth, from a business perspective.
My next question was going to be, have there been any surprises over the last month in terms of, some products doing better than others? What you're telling me about significant changes in growth, did that surprise you at all?
Not really. I mean, what we've sort of seen, I think, in other markets, the demand for this is starting to sort of scale. And you're seeing even, markets like Australia, where, buy now, pay later has been around for a little longer. You're starting to sort of see that occurring now in the US. It's interesting seeing other models, calling themselves sort of buy now, pay later, but, really, that sort of true solution, you see that kind of demand, you see that kind of growth, where consumers can use a credit card or a debit card to make to make these sorts of repayments, it opens up a whole different set of consumer groups and opens up whole new sort of solutions of affordability, responsible affordability and cash flow, you know, for a consumer but that they don't necessarily get, you know, from existing, you know, products in the marketplace.
Right.
And I think that that's where it's created a, you know, a lot of value for everyone concerned.
Something that I was thinking about earlier today is, I'll use Malaysia as an example. We're going through lockdown and then it's open and then it's a lockdown and then it's open. And so, you know, people are going to work and then they're not at work. And we're seeing, you know, unemployment start to grow a little bit. And of course, with unemployment, people start becoming a little bit tighter with their money. And the significant growth that you're experiencing right now is completely understandable. But as people start to tighten their purses a little bit, how do you expect that to have an impact on the future of Hula?
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, I think we built this business to be capable of supporting merchants and consumers in good times and in bad.
Right.
And I think, you know, I think in the last sort of, you know, 12 months, that's also, you know, come to the fore, you know, where people perhaps are being a little bit more and careful with their money, perhaps on certain types of purchases. But then, you know, there's a difference. Perhaps a father used to say, "You know, do you want this or do you need it?"
Right.
And I think that that's where we've, you know, we've started to sort of see this, you know, occur in this, you know, particular economic period. Where I mean, you sort of your previous question, you know, alluded to surprises. I mean, I think it wasn't so much a surprise, but it was interesting to see, you know, a massive increase in, you know, home furnishings, for example, electronics for the home, beauty, interestingly, and sort of fitness products as people were trying to do their fitness at home and perhaps were, you know, appearing on sort of Zoom calls and what have you and ultimately trying to sort of look their best. So we saw a definite shift, I think, in terms of what people were buying or what people were needing. And that's really where the sort of support was in play. I mean, including myself, you know, I'm a significant user of my own products, you know, because it helps me as a founder of a business. And, you know, from a cash flow perspective, you know, I needed a desk and a lamp and headphones and all of these different things I've been able to, you know, sort of spread over a period of time and help my own personal cash flow at this period.
So yeah.
I think it really speaks to a lot of people, depending on their, again, personal situation, where, you know, price, again, relative to the want or the need of the item that they're buying is something that is a massive impact, has a massive impact in that emotional journey that they go through to make a decision to buy. And that's really where we're supporting, you know, those customers.
I think you're right. I mean, a few months ago, there is no way that I thought that I'd be needing to build or add to my home studio, you know, things like you say, microphones and lights and extra headphones and speakers and Lord knows what else, you know. And had there been a platform like the Hula available to me back then that stocked all of these things, you know, that impact that I felt in my wallet would have been significantly less and a lot more helpful in terms of my mental well-being, as it were, for these purchases that I've been forced to make. Now, final question of the day before I let you go, Stuart. Future plans for Malaysia and across the region, as well as your kind of short-term and your long-term expansion plans. Can you kind of lay that out a little for me?
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, I think you know, Asia as a region is a wonderful place to be. You know, I think you've been here for quite some time in multiple countries as well, Rich, and you know, for myself the same. And you know, I never tire of the opportunities and challenges, you know, I think that you know, that we have here. And I think for us as a business, when we set out at the very beginning, you know, we built our company and the technology and infrastructure with the mindset that, you know, we wanted to try and bring this to, you know, multiple countries. Because, you know, when you look at the sort of consumer demographics, you know, yes, you've got banks, you've got underbanked, you've got unbanked, you know, consumers in these markets, but everyone is sort of moving, you know, starting to move to a sort of a digital, you know, future. You know, you've got consumers that are very much sort of heavily impacted by mobile and internet technology. You've got consumers that are in fact impacted, you know, quite significantly by, you know, sort of social media, for example, especially the sort of Gen Z, you know, millennial, you know, consumers. And that really is a constant across, you know, all markets. So the big part, I think, of our plan in the sort of short term is very much to to grow our business into a number of different markets around around the Asia region, with very much with a sort of a focus on that. But the other sort of part of that, or the next sort of part of that, is very much around localization, in the sort of core markets that we operate. And Malaysia is is no sort of different to that at all. We've just hired a whole group of people in Malaysia. We're growing that office quite significantly. Mm. Putting a lot of focus on that market, I think, is a tremendous sort of country to operate, as I sort of said before. Mm. And really then starting to look, what does localization mean? It's sort of language, it's consumer groups, it's products, it's merchants, perhaps sort of specific marketing activities. Mm. But all of the payment options, all of these are really important to making sure that wherever the consumer is and whatever the merchant requires, that's ultimately where we sort of sit in between in that sort of network relationship. So some very exciting times ahead, I think, for our business, and continue to see some of those sort of growth and outcomes.
Wonderful. Stuart, thank you very much for your time today.
Pleasure, Richard. Thank you very much indeed.
Absolute pleasure on my behalf as well. That was Stuart Thornton, the CEO and co-founder of Hula, Asia's leading buy now, pay later solution for e-commerce stores. If you missed any part of this show, don't forget you can download the podcast and listen back at your leisure. I recommend the BFM app. That's available in the Apple App Store or Google Play. For BFM 89.9, I'm Richard Bradbury.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.